Hey, this is Neil Gentry reminding you that you are listening to Preaching Sunday here on bpnradio.com, your 24-hour internet prayer station. Now, 18 hours of continuous preaching continues with Roy Beard. Another timely message from Roy Beard. Now here's Roy.
Welcome to Covenant Life Ministries, and this time together it's our purpose to help you understand God's covenants, help you understand your position and place and privilege and authority in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our desire is to help you become a more powerful witness for His kingdom and enhanced in your ability to pray and more knowledgeable in the things of Almighty God. So I'm Roy Beard, the founder and president of Covenant Life Ministries. Thank you for joining us. Today, I want to talk about the warrior spirit and the need for having a warrior spirit in this battle that we're in, the spiritual warfare that's today. For my text, and I'm not going to read it, is the entire Song of Solomon. I'll let you go back and study that and read it. It's obviously, I can't and I won't read it all. That would take up more than my time, but I simply ask that after the service, you go back and read it. Read it slowly. Read it with a pen and a notepad. Read it with a prayerful heart. And I believe this. I believe that if you do that, then the Holy Spirit will stir your heart and cause you to realize that what I'm talking about in this message and possibly subsequent messages is a reality. I believe that the Holy Spirit will challenge you to leave behind all passivity, all indifference, all apathy, and there will be a spirit of a warrior that begins to rise up and stir up within your heart. I don't know about you, but I've been shocked by too many in the church. I'm shocked that I literally have shocked people in the church, and I've been shocked by the church. And people are shocked when I say that I see an alarming, disturbing attitude of indifference and passivity in far, far too many Christians. Too many people seem to be content to just splash around in the kiddie pool and the waters of the Spirit and puddle A, the shallow end, and the waters that are ankle deep, rather than launch out into the uncharted and deep waters of the kingdom of God and the Spirit of God. Out into waters where we have to swim or drown. Out in waters where it's sink or swim. Too many people that I've encountered, too many people that I've talked to, too many people that I've dealt with, find any kind of resistance that comes against them as totally unpalatable and undesirable, and they don't want to engage in it. They want ease, they want peace. They want peace at all costs with everything and everybody around them, and they reject any idea of doing something that might actually rock the boat. Ease seems to be the prime objective, and it's very often pursued with abandon. There's commitment or contentment with the status quo, and too many are satisfied with just having everything like it is. No real changes. Some seem to have come to the place that they are ready to and willingly accept mediocrity. And I say garbage, rubbish. That's utter nonsense. Now, I don't want to come across, and I probably already have, as a negative voice, because I see incredible potential and incredible benefit and incredible power in what God's trying to do. And I see the potential and the power of God ready to be unleashed in our present world. I see the incredible victory that is straining to be released upon every member of the body of Christ. What I hope I can be used by the Holy Spirit of God to accomplish is to help you realize that we are in a war. This is war. There's a war going on in the spirit and too often in the natural, but in war, you either learn to fight or you die. Now, I don't want anybody to die, but I want the body of Christ to clothe itself with the full armor of God, and by faith pull down strongholds and I want to see the captives set free. It's imperative for me. I believe it's imperative that we learn what our weapons are. We need to learn what the weapons of warfare that have been given to the church, what's in the arsenal of God that He has for us. And we need to not only know what they are, but we need to know how to use those weapons efficiently and effectively. Now, God does not throw us into the battle without weaponry. He doesn't throw us into the battle without armament. And He doesn't throw us into the battle without training. Oh, I'm very well aware that sometimes people head into battle before they're released and before they're ready, and they suffer because of that. But the purpose of the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers is to equip the saints for the work of ministry. That's the purpose. And we need to learn how to dress for the fight. We need to learn how to use the weapons. We need to learn how to pray. We need to learn how to pull down strongholds. We need to understand the power and the purpose of our spiritual weapons. And we're not going to do that by getting saved today and heading into the battle tomorrow with no training, no oversight, no discipline, no guidance. No, we need to be discipled. We need to be trained. And discipleship in the church today seems to be a foreign thought because people are ready to run. They're like, let me run. But you don't have a message. Well, let me run anyway. Well, that's fruitless. It's important. It's very, very, very important that every member of the body of Christ make a decided commitment to persevere. When we begin this thing, we have to make up our minds that we're going to persevere. It's important that each one of us resolve that we're going to be in the fight to the finish, no matter what. Hear me, no matter what. It's important that every one of us resolve to be in the fight to the finish, no matter what. And that, I'm convinced, takes more than a mental assent. It takes more than just forming the words. It requires that each one of us enter into a covenant with God. See, we have a contract mentality in much of the Western church today. But God is not interested in contract Christians. He wants covenant Christians. A covenant is unbreakable, but a contract can be broken or renegotiated, and that's not God's way. If you and I understand and enter into a blood covenant with God, with our leaders, with our families, with our fellowships, and even with ourselves, we will have the determination to never quit. And that is total commitment. That's what I'm talking about. Now, let me offer a caution. If we don't recognize the need, if we don't recognize the need to become warriors, then the likelihood is we're going to become victims. Victims of a very cleverly organized and orchestrated hellish attack out of the very pits of hell that takes no captives. Hell offers no quarter and should be given none. The truth of God is that you and I have been given the victory through Jesus Christ. And the problem too often is that we've not learned how to, or even the need to, enforce that victory that Jesus won. Jesus won the victory for us at the cross and in the resurrection. And the devil knows that. But he also knows that too many of us are unaware of it, or in disbelief, or not sure of it, or not certain, or not confident that God will use us. Satan's serious. The question is, are we? Now, I fully believe that God is speaking in a sovereign way today, and He's raising up His body as an army to not only combat the enemy, but to enforce the victory that's already been won. Won for us, for you, and for me. And I believe that we're living in strategic times in the kingdom, and possibly the most exciting time in human history. We've been praying for years, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Too often those are just words, not expectations. We pray thy kingdom come, but we're not looking for the kingdom to come. We're thinking that somewhere in the future, in the sweet by and by, up there in the sky. If God's kingdom becomes revealed on earth, there is going to be conflict and war. And it is. And where there's conflict and war in the spirit, very often it's because God's kingdom is being revealed. It's being revealed, and when it's revealed, there's war. The devil steps up his fight. So I'm calling today for every warrior, every person that's a committed Christian, to rise up and volunteer for the front lines, because today is your day. Now hear me, please. Hear me very carefully. I have a very deep sense of assurance that we are going to see some incredible victories in our lifetime. I believe that. We win in the end. I know that. But I believe that we're going to see some incredible winning in the here and the now. Now, are you ready for that? How about some of that? I want some of that. I also believe that we're going to see an ever-increasing time of opposition launched from the pits of hell. People are going to attack our faith and our right to believe and worship according to the biblical directive. This is war. Saints, this is war. So my question is, where are the warriors? Where are the warriors? Never, ever, ever underestimate the enemy. Oh, he won't give up easily. He's a loser and he knows it. But he's also a fighter, and hoping to take some of us with him, and that must not happen. We dare not let that happen. There are many, many, many things happening in the world today, all over the world. But I want to remind you of something that began a few years ago, and I became aware of, and I prayed against it. In England, in the UK, there were a group of Satanists who joined together and made a commitment and a covenant among themselves to pray for the elimination, not just the defeat, but for the elimination of a number of evangelical leaders in London and elsewhere around the country. They were praying for the disruption of the marriages, the finances, and the discrediting of their integrity. And in one year, there were some leading ministers destroyed through exposure of immorality, marital breakdown, their integrity and reputations were destroyed. And I know what it's like. I know what it's like to have a coven of witches set themselves up to pray for your destruction. I also know what it's like to see the body of Christ band together and fight those efforts and see God completely obliterate the enemy. Sometime back, several years, I heard about a man that was on a flight for Detroit, Michigan. He was coming from England to Detroit, Michigan. And he noticed that a man sitting next to him looked like he was praying. And so he turned to the man and said, "Are you a Christian?" And the man looked at him shocked and said, No. You have me all wrong. I'm not a Christian. I'm a Satanist." He was praying for the downfall of several well-known ministers in both America and the United Kingdom. Folks, they live, they breathe, and they are very, very, very serious. The question is, are we? Child of God, hear me. There is a resistance against the move of the kingdom of God. The devil does not passively sit back and watch it happen. There's resistance, and there are those who desire our destruction. This is war. This is war. Now, I wish I could somehow challenge every pastor everywhere in America and around the world to determine that they will not rest. They will absolutely not rest until they have equipped their people or seen their people equipped for the work of ministry. And I pray that they would become so stirred as leaders to take the biblical directive to equip the saints for the work of ministry so seriously that they would labor and teach and train their people in spiritual warfare and spiritual weapons and how to fight and teach their people this is war. Now, the Bible teaches us and informs us that we have weapons that are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. They're not carnal weapons. They're spiritual weapons. We have the ability, according to the Word of God, to bind the strong man and to bind the forces of hell. We have the ability through the promises of the Word of God, through the Spirit of God, to spoil and plunder that strong man's house and pluck some as brands from burning and rescue them from the destruction of hell and to literally storm the gates of hell. We have weapons at our disposal that make every member of hell's task force cringe with fear, knowing their defeat is sure if the church becomes an army and the people become warriors. This is war. I can't emphasize it enough. This is war. This is not a game. This is not just a walk in the park. This is not just a little skirmish. This is war. And sometimes I can't help but wonder why Christians spend so much time worrying about the devil and wondering what he's up to. He should be wondering about us and worrying about what we're up to. We're the victors, not him. We're more than conquerors through God, not him. Who's in us? Who's more powerful, God or the devil? God's Holy Spirit's more powerful than the entire army of hell, and in Christ and with Christ and with Christ in you and in me, we are too. Jesus, hear me, Jesus is the name that every knee is going to bow before, not Lucifer. And the Bible tells us that we've been made to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Not someday, not somehow, not some way, not sometime in the future, but right now. That's our position. And it needs to become our condition because Jesus said that all authority had been given to him. All authority in heaven and earth had been given to him. He has authority over all of the forces of hell, and he's given that authority to us, believers. That means that nothing, absolutely nothing, by any means can hurt us. That means that nothing can stand in our way as we advance the cause of the kingdom of God. That does not mean we won't be wounded. That does not mean we won't be opposed. That does not mean we won't suffer injury. But it means that we will not be defeated. This is war. I've known people, and I always wondered about it, who spend a lot of time seemingly talking to the devil. No, they don't worship the devil. They don't even like him, but they talk to him. And I know they do because they keep telling me, well, the devil said. What? He's a liar. And the truth's not in him. He can't save you, and he desires your destruction. So why in the name of all that is holy and good would you engage in any dialogue with him? The Bible says resist him and he flees. Why would you carry on a conversation with him? They're not two omnipotent forces. There's one. That's God. There's not two gods. There's one. That's God. The devil, remember this, the devil is a created being, just like the angels are. And he was evicted from heaven. He was dealt the ultimate death blow at the cross and in the resurrection. So turn your focus from the devil. Turn it away from him. Turn your focus to God. Rather than fearing the devil, let reverential fear well up in your heart toward God. He is the living God. Never forget that you and I are more than conquerors through Jesus. I want to use an illustration from some years back. I heard it a number of years ago. That there was a woman fighting a custody battle for her children. She was a born-again, devoted Christian. Her husband was living a disreputable life and depravity, and he was running around and cheating on her and abusing her and the kids and drinking and doing all kinds of things. But he took her to court for custody of the children. And his lawyer argued that she was an unfit mother. Now, why would he argue that, and on what grounds did he argue that? He said because she went to church regularly, she watched Christian television, she spoke in tongues and prayed, she was an unfit mother, and the children shouldn't be subjected to that. In his mind, that made her completely unfit to raise the children. Imagine that. And the judge, hearing the case, was known as a drunkard. And he was viewed as unethical and unjust, and nearly every time there was any kind of Christian or moral issue that came before him, he ruled against them. And the lawyer knew that. But after hearing the arguments that were presented by the husband's attorney and listening to the woman, the judge said, well, some of us could use some of the religion she has, so it's my ruling. She keeps the kids.
I sometimes think that God enjoys those kinds of situations. No, it's not because of any pain or trauma that we experience, but it's to demonstrate his ability to overcome obstacles and overcome long odds. He enjoys, I know God enjoys, demonstrating his power over the devil and his incredible love for us. And as Jesus did with the Pharisees, sometimes I'm convinced God baits the devil and places him in a situation to where, at the hands of the church of the living God, he is absolutely put to shame. Because it stirs our faith and it inspires us to become fearless warriors. Folks, this is war. But in my spirit, I see a spark being ignited that excites me. We're going to make it. We're going to win, not just in the end, but right now. God never said it'd be easy. He never said it would be pain-free. He never said it would be without difficulty. He never said it would be without casualty. But he did say that we could win. Now, I want you to, when I was in the Navy, they would pipe over the speakers and say, now hear this. And you knew that there was some announcement coming. And I'm saying, now hear this. God is in the process of building his church, and that church is going to prevail against the gates of hell. We are more than conquerors through Jesus. I want to clarify a little misunderstanding, if I could. It's truly difficult, and I understand that, and I respect that. It's difficult for some people to understand and to embrace the warrior attitude that I'm talking about. Now, why would it be difficult? It's difficult because they have an incredible difficulty with the directive of the Bible to love and the reality of war. They find it almost impossible to reconcile having a warrior spirit with a spirit of love, and they see no way for us to love and engage in war at the same time. Because I've had them argue to me, and they say, Christians, we're Christians, so we're supposed to love, so war has to be wrong. So how do you and I combine the two and reconcile the differences and embrace having a warrior spirit and embrace being love at the same time? Obviously, God loves everybody, and we have to, too. We should want to. God loves us unconditionally. It's equally obvious that God has an intense hatred for evil, and we must too. Not people, but the evil. I believe that one of the major motivating forces for this army of God that I'm calling for and I'm asking you to engage in is compassion. The compassion of Jesus Christ. We're not going to win with hate. We're not going to win with our hearts filled with hate. We don't hate those who adopt lifestyles counter to our faith. We don't hate those that stand against the Word of God. We're not hating the Satanists, the witches, the haters of God, and the haters of the church. Oh, no, 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 no. We don't hate them because God doesn't hate them. He hates their philosophy. He hates their lifestyle. He hates their sin, but he doesn't hate them. He wants to bring them to salvation and to see them set free, and that should be our desire too. But they're captives being held against their will, and they're in bondage to Satan, and unless we become warriors and unless we engage in this war, unless we begin to set the captive free and use the power of the Holy Spirit and the anointing of God and the weapons of warfare, then we're not going to see them free, and people are going to be sent into eternity in destruction and bondage and deception. And that's the function of the army of God and his warriors, to engage the enemy in spiritual warfare and move forward with the mighty and wonderful power of the Holy Spirit of God. Some of you that are listening to me right now, you've had incredible difficulty in your life. You don't know where you're going to turn. There have been times you despaired of life itself because you set your heart to serve God with a whole heart. And it seemed like the more you determined you were going to serve God, the more everything around you fell apart. The more you set your heart to do the will of God, the more every difficulty and every problem and even members of your own family turned on you. They didn't understand you. They thought you were crazy. They thought you had lost your mind. And some of them were almost like Job's wife that says, oh, just give up, Job, curse God and die. And some of you said, Lord, why don't you just take me home? This is too much. This is too difficult. Some of you've encountered physical difficulties. Some of you've encountered financial difficulties. Some of you've encountered moral difficulties. Some of you encountered relational difficulties and spiritual battles to where you're tormented in your mind. And I'm here to tell you that if you will make the commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ and accept Him as your personal Savior and make the determination in your heart and pray, and not just pray in words, Father, hallowed be your name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You set your heart to seeking, as Jesus said in Matthew 6:33. Oh, seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. If we'll set our hearts to seeking God first and foremost above everything, that's not going to take away the difficulties. I heard people years ago were telling a person that had come to the altar to be saved, accept Jesus and all your troubles are over. And I thought, you're lying to him. You just told him one of the biggest lies, and it's going to be one of the biggest shocks. And we may have great difficulty keeping him in the family of God and keeping him focused, because he's going to find out real soon that his troubles are not over. They're just beginning in a major way. But if you would have told him that your troubles are not going to be over, but you have one that's standing with you that has overcome all of the powers of darkness, the one who went to the cross and died for you, rose again on the third day, is now ascended to the right hand of the throne of God and is making intercession for you, the one that has sent the other comforter, the Holy Spirit, to you, the one that's given you weapons of warfare that are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, the one that's given you authority over all the power of the enemy, the one that said, I'll never leave you, never forsake you, but I'm low, I'm with you even to the end of the world. If you'd have told him about that one, instead of saying just accept Jesus and you get to go to heaven and all your troubles are over, then I could back up what you're saying. And very often I would take a person aside that had been told those kind of things and try to give them the shocking reality of what it was going to be like in serving God. And I wanted them to be prepared. I wanted them to understand what their commitment meant. Folks, in war, there are no games in war. There are no easy paths in war. There are no wars without casualties. There's always casualties in war. Some of us that are in this service now, that are hearing what I'm saying now, may encounter and become a casualty of this war. And by becoming a casualty, I'm saying that it may cost us our life. But all the reward that we have in heaven is worth it all. And if we can see one soul born into the kingdom of God, it's worth it all. So I want to come to this point in this service and say, are you willing to be a warrior? Are you ready to be a warrior? Are you willing to make the commitment, counting the cost, knowing what may be at stake and knowing that it's not going to be easy, but God will clothe you. He'll gird your loins about with truth, put you on you the breastplate of righteousness, shod your feet with the preparation of the readiness of the gospel of peace, put on the helmet of salvation, give you the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit. You can overcome. If that's your heart's cry, then right now, in simplistic terms, I ask you to just bow your heart, lift your hands and say, Lord, I'm yours. As Isaiah said, here am I, send me. I'm willing to go. I'm willing to go. Whatever you want, wherever you want it, I'm yours, Lord.
Well, thank you for being with us on Covenant Life Ministries broadcast. This is Roy Beard. I have two blogs that I write, roybeard.com and royscovenantcorner.wordpress.com. If you'd like to contact me at Covenant Life Ministries, clm.texas@yahoo.com, and I'll be glad to respond to you, be glad to help you in any way I can. God bless you, and we will look forward to seeing you next week. Go with God, and He will go with you.